Mark chapter 5, Jesus heals a madman. And they came to the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus got out of the boat, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Now, talking about people possessed with demons or spirits, that was how the people in those days used to describe people who were mentally ill, people who had a mental illness, because they couldn't understand why an apparently healthy person acted in a very strange and crazy way. So they said, they've got an unclean spirit, they've got a demon. This man had his living in the tombs. He lived in the graves where the dead bodies were, and nobody could bind him, not even with a chain. He'd often been bound with shackles and chains, but he pulled the chains apart and broke the shackles in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. So then he sometimes had these fits where he had this supernatural strength and this supernatural power. And always, night and day, he was in the graves and in the mountains. He was crying out and cutting himself with stones. When he saw Jesus far off, he ran and worshipped him, and crying with a loud voice, he said, "What have I to do with you, Jesus, you Son of the Most High God? I solemnly beg you by God, do not torment me." For Jesus had said to him, "Unclean spirit, come out of the man." And he asked the spirit, "What is your name?" And the spirit replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." So this poor man thought that he had lots and lots of people living inside him. That's why he says that his name is Legion, which means 100. So this poor man was ill.
Daddy, why would he think he's got like a billion, like 100 inside him?
Well, that was part of his mental illness. That's why it says that he had an unclean spirit. And he earnestly pleaded with Jesus not to send them out of the country. Now, there was there on the mountainside a big herd of pigs feeding. Now, Jews weren't allowed to keep pigs because they were unclean animals, so they shouldn't have had these anyway.
But maybe they were the Romans?
Yeah, it could have been the Romans. That is true. Because it was in an area that was around the Sea of Galilee where there were Gentiles living. That's a good point. And they pleaded with him, saying, "Send us into the pigs, let us enter into them." So Jesus gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out and entered the pigs, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the hill into the sea, and were all drowned in the sea. And they that fed them fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they came to see what it was that had happened. And they came to Jesus and saw him who had been possessed with demons, that previously had the legion, sitting clothed and in his right mind, and they were frightened. And they that saw it described to them what had happened to him that was previously possessed with demons, and about what had happened to the pigs. Now you see, it says that they saw the man clothed, he'd been running around naked, and sitting in his right mind. So before Jesus cured him,
Why was he running around naked?
Well, because he was ill mentally. And now Jesus had cured him, he was in his right mind. So this man wanted to go with Jesus, but Jesus didn't allow him. Instead, he said to him, "Go to your home and to your family and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and how he had mercy on you." He went his way and began to publish in Decapolis the great things Jesus had done for him, and all men were amazed. So you see, it's a lot easier to make a journey of 1,000 miles and preach to strangers than it is to talk about Jesus within your own family, like we're doing this evening. Well, that's what Jesus wanted. And that's the real way to bring people to know Jesus. And when Jesus had crossed over again by boat to the other side of the lake, a great crowd was gathered to him, and he was by the sea. And there came one of the rulers of the synagogue called Jairus, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and begged Jesus earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. I beg you to come and lay your hands on her, that she may be made whole and live." And Jesus went with him, and a great crowd followed him, and they pressed upon him. and a woman who for 12 years had an issue of blood. She'd been bleeding for 12 years, and she'd suffered many things of doctors and spent all that she had and was nothing better but only got worse. Having heard the things about Jesus, she...
Did he still do in Africa?
Maybe. She came from the crowd behind him and touched his clothes, for she thought, if I can touch but his clothes, I'll be made whole. And immediately her bleeding was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her illness. Immediately Jesus, realizing in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone out, he turned towards the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said to him, you saw the crowd pressing upon you, and you ask, who touched me? So we see how weak they were. They thought that Jesus was somehow simple or a bit foolish to ask this question. And Jesus looked round to see who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had been done to her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you whole. Not touching me, physically touching something is not going to heal you. It's your faith in me that's made you whole. That's what he meant. Go in peace and be free of your illness. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying, your daughter is dead. Why do you trouble the teacher any further? The poor Jairus must have been thinking, oh, come on, Jesus, don't spend time with this woman. Hurry up and come to my house and raise my daughter. Save my daughter. She's about to die. You can cure this woman any time. But Jesus, not heeding the word spoken, said to Jairus, fear not, only believe. And Jesus didn't allow anyone to follow him apart from Peter, James, and John. And they came to the house of Jairus, ruler of the synagogue, and he saw a big fuss being made with people weeping and wailing. And when Jesus had entered, he said to them, why do you make this great weeping and fuss? The child is not dead, but sleeps. And they laughed at him to scorn. But Jesus, having put them outside, took the father of the child and her mother and those that were with him, and went to where the child was. And taking the child by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. And immediately the girl got up and began walking. She was 12 years old. And they were immediately overcome with amazement, and he strictly ordered them that no one should know, and told them to give her something to eat. And you see there how kind Jesus is, and how sensitive and how thoughtful he is. He knew she'd been sick for ages, and that she'd been dead, and so she obviously hadn't eaten, and so he thinks, oh, she's obviously hungry. And so Jesus is just as sensitive and just as thoughtful to us, just as much as he ever was then, because it's the same Jesus yesterday, today, and forever. This is the same Jesus who we're going to meet when he comes back. And by the way, that girl, it says, was 12 years old, but the lady who had the illness that made her bleed had also been sick for 12 years. So you see how God had worked in the lives of each of those ladies, the young girl of 12 years old and the woman who'd been bleeding for 12 years. He'd been preparing them for this great moment when they met Jesus. And that's the same. When we hand out tracts on the street or put them through letterboxes, God may have been preparing those people who get them for years until that moment comes when they encounter Jesus.